Man, thanks, Alonzo. Brandon, I'm not sure you can adjust the volume. I feel like I speak kind of loud, so I don't want to feel like I'm yelling at everybody. There's always a first, right? So I stand here. This is the first time that I've had the opportunity and the blessing to stand before the congregation teaching Sunday school. And I know that with the church, no one stands here. You know, we don't want you to see the person that's teaching or the person that's preaching. We want to see Christ, right? And we want to not be confusing in our message. But it is weighty. Even Pastor Neil said it last week, right out of James chapter 3, let not many be teachers. It's a weighty task to stand before you. I was going through some of the Sunday schools and the most recent Sunday schools, right, with Pastor Russ going through 1 Timothy and looking at, qualifications for elders. We had Anthony did a great walkthrough in 1 Kings, looking at how God used Elijah. Pastor Neil's been in James quite a bit. And most recently, of course, Al in Genesis. And I think we look back at these and we all learned a lot, right? They were fantastic studies. And I believe that God was honored in those studies, right? And that is the desire. That's the desire of this church, right? I think that's clearly seen. If you look at the amount of people that attend Bible studies, the room was bursting at the seams. We had a hermeneutics class, right? As a congregation, it is our desire to rightly divide the Word of God, right? We want to understand it. We want to understand it clearly. We want to live it out better than we are. And that's just a motivating, factor that each one of us is by God's grace. That's what we have. So as I was looking, for Sunday school, one of the things that we had the opportunity a while back to do was to go through the minor prophets, right? So they're all online. You can listen to the men that preached through the minor prophets. But it was a great and encouraging time just to see how much the Old Testament, has for us and implications for our day to day, right? They are so well connected. And there's much for us to be learned. One of the books that I've enjoyed reading and studying through is the book of Jeremiah, right? So Debbie puts out, like a title, which would be the title. Al did a good job of that in Genesis each week. I just put an introduction to the prophets, introduction to Jeremiah. And as my week kind of went along, I would have maybe titled it To Be on Guard or To Be Remembered to Be on Guard, right? We're not going to today touch too much on Jeremiah, a little bit. We're going to look at a little bit of it. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to take more of a broader look at the prophets. What was their message? How was God using them? Kind of where they fit in history. We're going to back up a little bit and sort of, I like John MacArthur. If you listen to enough of his message every now and then, he'll say, we're going to focus in on verse 10 today, but we're going to back up to verse 5 and get a running start. Right? So that's why next week we're going to back up next week and get a running start of Jeremiah. At least that's my intention or my thoughts. If you look back at those minor prophet sermons, as I was saying, there's a lot there, and even Pastor Terry preached through an entire series out of Malachi, right? So there was just a lot there for each one of us. And as I'm saying, it's kind of unique that today is the last day of 23. It's the last day. And the things that are on my mind thinking about it is we live in a society where we have a lot of information coming at us, right? In Christendom, there's a lot of blogs, there's a lot of podcasts, there's a lot of online sermons, there's a lot of books in the bookstore. There's a ton out there in Christianity. And I think the message, or just one of Jeremiah's messages, is to be on guard, right? And that carries through to the New Testament. We are told to be on guard and to not waver from the faith that's once delivered. And it's easy to do. We sing the hymns, prone to wander. We want to be paying attention. We want to be on guard. As I, was thinking again through this, there are what draws me continually back to the Old Testament. There are many scriptures, I think, but I want to take a look at a couple of them. And they're very familiar. So if you would, turn to Luke, turn to the book of Luke into chapter 24. It's a section of scripture that we all know very well. And it's the road to Emmaus, right? We know it as the road to Emmaus, right? The resurrection has taken place. There's these two men walking back to their hometown, Clopas being one of them that's named. And then they don't know it, but Jesus joins them, right? Their eyes have been blinded. They don't recognize him for who he is, right? So they're walking along and they're discussing the events in Jerusalem, and Jesus is just asking them some questions. In verse 26, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And then in verse 27, it says, and then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, so with the law and the prophets, he, Jesus, interpreted to them these things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Right? That is just, anybody else ever think about what it would be like to be on that road listening to Jesus explain himself through the Old Testament, through Moses, through the prophets? I find that just fascinating, and I would love to be there and listen to him take the scriptures and expound them about himself. Right? It's fantastic. Another one that I was thinking of is 1 Corinthians. If you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians, it's actually chapter 15. And again, I'm sure many of you will recognize it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First four verses in chapter 15. Anybody like to read these first four verses? I've been saved for about 15 years. I remember the first times I read some of these verses. And when you read that according to the scriptures, right, it's just something that just tends to stick with you. What scriptures? What scriptures is he talking about? Old Testament, right? That's what he's talking about. Paul says, I delivered to you this message of what's most important, that Christ died for our sins. And it's like saying, if you don't believe me, you know, for any reason you don't believe me, look at the scriptures, because that's what the scriptures say. And he's looking back at the Old Testament. So again, I think we all know it. There's great value in looking at the Old Testament scriptures. Those scriptures for me, and there are many others, that are very comfortable, right? They're easy to embrace. It's exciting to maybe think about being on that road to Emmaus. Obviously, not all scripture is comfortable to hear, right? I mean, I just picked one. I picked Hebrews 4:12. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? Yeah, the word of God is a double-edged sword, living and active, piercing, right? The word of God is not always comfortable, right? It exposes us because we're sinners. Everyone in this church recognizes that. We embrace the fact that some of the scriptures are not comfortable to hear. Right? But that's not always the case in Christendom, right? It is piercing. There's one thing that I've always heard and embraced from the teaching here at Fellowship is that we are determined to have a balanced view of God, right? God is love, but he's also just, right? You could kind of dial in on that. God is perfect love, and he's also perfect justice. He's at the same time 100% love, and he's 100% just. He's 100% righteous. If you lean too far one way, you get an imbalance. Either way you go, you get an imbalanced view of who God is. And if it goes too far, eventually you're not even preaching the God of the Bible, right? So we don't want that. We want to have a balanced view of who God is. And the scriptures, like I said, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they warn against false teachers or even teachers that soften the gospel in our day. They twist the truth. Jeremiah was warning against that. So we can see it, turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll just look at how Peter says it. Second Peter chapter 1, and verse kind of leading into chapter 2, but in verse 20 it says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes with one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by the will of man, but men being moved by the Holy Spirit from God. Obviously, very high view of Scripture. Peter's exhorting that. It's a very high view. And he says, but false prophets also arose among the people. Who are the people? Israel, right? False prophets also rose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will be secretly introduced, right? It's the same message. There was a message in Jeremiah, we're going to look at it in a minute, where there were false prophets. That carries through today. And as the title, it's be on guard, or remember to be on guard, right? I don't know all the things that you're seeing. I just know there's a lot out there, right? And we want to be on guard from that. And he says, you know, it's not that they will be here. The false teachers are here. So let's take a look at it in the Old Testament. Let's turn to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 23. There's a lot in 23, but we're going to pick it actually up in verse 23. Chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23, and it's actually verse 23 that I'll start in. And sometimes you may see me bounce from my notes between the NASB, because I do a lot of studying in the Bible with a lot of notes that I have, and then back to the LSB. So I carry the LSB with me here. I read from the LSB, but you'll see different wording. But sometimes you'll see me bounce back and forth between the two versions as well. So Jeremiah chapter 23, in verse 23, it says, am I a God who is near, declares Yahweh, and not a God far off, right? He's just talking about the omnipresence of God, right? Am I a God who's near, far? God's everywhere. This is what Jeremiah is saying in these. It's a rhetorical question, right? Am I a God who's near? Of course you are. Of course he is. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so that I do not see him, declares the Lord, right? Can I go in a cave? Can I go in a dark cave? Can I just get away? You know, is there someplace I can go where God's not going to be able to find me? Right? Jonah tried that. It didn't. I'm sure there are other good examples, right? But we naturally want to do that, right? What did Adam do when he sinned, right? They went and hide. What does a little child do when they know they've done something wrong? You got to go find them in the closet or in the corner, right? Because they've done something wrong. That's what we do. We want to hide, right? Jeremiah is saying, can a man hide himself? Again, a rhetorical question. No, of course he cannot hide himself. We cannot hide ourselves, even if we may think we can. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares Yahweh? He continues, he says, I have heard what the prophets have said, right? God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. You know, I keep saying, I've heard what the pastors have said. I've heard what the teachers have said. He says, I've heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy a lie in my name, right? I underlined that, in my name, right? In this particular section, it's not in Baal's name, right? Obviously, there's a lot of Baal worship. We're going to look at some of that, yeah. Sure, yeah, absolutely. He says, they prophesy a lie in my name. I had a dream. I had a dream, right? And this is what, you know, we're going to see some of this flow, but this is what's happening. There was prophets that were saying, God gave me a dream, and this is what he told me to say to you, right? This is what he said for me to say to you. You know, we'll look at, there are ways to look at false prophets and true prophets of God. We're going to look at that. But there was a lot of false prophets, especially at this time in history, saying, I had a dream. This is what God says. And in most cases, their message was a soft message. Don't worry about it. Judgment's not coming. It's okay. God's a loving God, right? It'll be okay. He said, how long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who will prophesy a lie, even those prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which they recount to one another? It's as if a message was from one prophet to another prophet to another prophet, It could be in evangelicalism where this guy's saying this over here, and then all of a sudden you hear it over here, or you hear it on the radio over here, you read it in a book. You see it so many places, you just start thinking it must be true. It must be accurate. You get all these guys talking about it, right? It's not necessarily the case. That's not the test of whether the message is the right message, is how many people you've heard it from, right? That's not the test, but that's what's happening. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here, right? They recount to one another. They just keep going back and forth, right? But it's pulling. It's not in my name. It's not my message. Verse 28 says, the prophet who has a dream may recount his dream. He always says, if he's got a dream, he can say his dream. You know, you can talk about your dreams. That's not the issue. It's not the issue to talk about your dreams. But let him who has my word speak my word in truth. Right? I underlined in truth. Right? There is a lot of that softness, it's twisting, that starts out sounding like it's in God's word. But is it in truth? Right? That's the important part. Your Bible says may speak the word faithfully. You know, it has to be in truth. It can't be softened. The message can't be softened. It can't be twisted, right? Because like it said, it's an imbalanced view of God if you do that. There's a significant imbalance happening here in Israel, but there are significant imbalances happening, yes, today. Yes. What's the penalty? Death. Yeah, God's serious. It happens today, and it was certainly happening then, and it's certainly happening today. You know, a Christian movie or a show comes out. Everybody's talking about it. You know, I'm not standing here condemning anything. What I am saying is be discerning. Be careful of the messages you're hearing and the messages you're seeing. That's what Peter's exhorting us to do. Be diligent, right? As a church, that's what we want to do, right? That is desire. And so this is sort of a reminder. Jeremiah is saying, watch out. He's saying, be careful. The end of verse 28 says, what does straw have in common with grain? Yours may say, what does chaff have in common with wheat? So what's the answer? Absolutely nothing, right? It's sort of a rhetorical question. What does chaff have to do with wheat? Absolutely nothing. Chaff is worthless, right? Wheat sustains us. Wheat strengthens us. Wheat builds us up. You know, that's what speaking the truth, speaking God's word in truth builds us up. So he's giving a few analogies here. What does straw have to do with grain? And as I was talking about words that are easy, scriptures that are easy here, some that are harder to hear, right? Some of it is wheat, right? As it says here, some of it is a hammer. God's word is a hammer, right? We can see that. Go down to verse 32. Well, this is actually about it being worthless. He says, behold, I am against those who prophesied lying dreams, declares Yahweh, and who recounted them and led my people astray by their lying and reckless boasting, yet I did not send them, and I did not command them, and they did not furnish this people the slightest benefit. Right? That's the point. Chaff has no benefit. God's word that is not in truth is worthless. Derek. Yeah. Well, I think I would say probably the exact same thing you would say, right? You know, you have to go back to the authority of Scripture and the fact that the Scripture and the canon is closed, right? And that we are not receiving new revelation from God, because if we did, it would have to be Scripture, right? You know, exactly. He's spoken in these last days in his Son, right? And that's where it ends. And yet the charismatic movement is going to have a lot of people saying that God is speaking to them. Yeah, you're gonna test it, right? We'll talk about that next week. You know, how do you know if a prophet's message is from God or not from God? How could they discern? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, how often do we hear a neighbor, somebody that, just says, "Well, I don't feel like God would say that. I don't feel like God would be like that." You know, we've heard that here. You know, that somebody says that, my God wouldn't do that, or I don't feel like God would be like that. I mean, I had that conversation with my neighbor. She doesn't want. That's an extremely low view of Scripture. Yes. Yep. I agree. And like I said, these words aren't comfortable. Look at verse 33. Jeremiah didn't pull any punches. He doesn't. He spoke God's word. It says, verse 33, he says, "Now when this people or the prophet or priest," I mean, doesn't matter who comes to you, Jeremiah. Doesn't matter who tells you they got a dream. Doesn't matter who they are, whether it's the people or it's the priest or it's a prophet, and they want to know, what does God say? Give us an oracle. What does God say? In the LSB, I think it's pretty stern, the answer. He said, "Tell them what I said, Jeremiah. I will abandon them." Right? Those are not comforting words, and they did not want to hear it. But that was what God was saying. Because of the absolute unwillingness to repent, I will abandon them. He was pretty direct. Some of those verses, I mean, we hear them. They can hurt. We want to be corrected. It's by God's grace that we have a desire to be corrected when we're wrong or we have sin in our lives. It's by God's grace that He opens our eyes to it, right? And we want to embrace that, but it's not always comfortable. Right? We can't expect it to be always comfortable. That's the point of Jeremiah in this section. But turn back to verse 9 just for a second. Verse 9, we get a little bit of Jeremiah's heart. It says, "As for the prophets, my heart is broken within me, and all my bones tremble. I become like a drunken man, even like a man overcome with wine." Right? Jeremiah says, "My heart is broken." I think of, you know, he's not saying, "God, should we call down fire on them?" Right? He's saying, "My heart is broken." Right? That is our heart. That should be our heart as we see people that have been led astray. Right? He's not holding hatred for them. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to see the true message of God, right? And he's saying, my heart is broken. And I was thinking, it's just an example, maybe. As I was driving here on Christmas Eve, I always drive through the center of Chester. And I have, I coming from New England, I have a passion for church buildings, the congregational church buildings, the big white buildings with the tall steeples, right? And in my hometown in Wisconsin, there was one, that's where I first started going to church. And very liberal message, had nothing to do with the true gospel, right? But I was attracted to the building. And we see those all through New England. Center of Chester has one. And as I was driving here on Christmas Eve, I don't usually drive through the center of Chester at night, but this was the evening service, and they had an evening service. The lights were on. They had lights in the window. There was cars in the parking lot lined up on the street. People are walking in, and it caught my attention, right? And I've shared with a number of you, I feel like our Christmas Eve service here was just God-honoring service. It was so encouraging, right? Tim's message was spot on. Pastor's message was spot on. The congregational singing was tremendous, right? And we stayed around for a long time afterwards. There was great fellowship, talking to people that we don't get to see very often, people that we know that aren't saved, that we're praying for them. We got a chance to spend time with them. I mean, I just feel like Christmas Eve was a fantastic night, and I believe it was God-honoring. And as I eventually left, and I was driving back home, going by that same church, now it's dark, right? The lights are out. There's no lights. There's no people. There's no cars in the parking lot. And it struck me that that is the spiritual nature of that church. It's cold. It's dark. And there's no true gospel taking place, right? And Jeremiah is saying, my heart is broken for them. You know, you talk to Lenny and Ivy. I know they minister to a number of those people. They share the gospel with them as they see them. That is our heart, right? We want them to understand the truth of God's word, right? And God's not worshipped there. That's the thing. There is no matter what took place that evening, God was not or honored or glorified in it because the truth isn't being spoken. And that's hard. Right? We want God to be glorified. So it was just an example. It's something that struck me Christmas Eve. You know, God is love, but he's just, right? And he will not be mocked, right? Galatians 6 says that. He will not be mocked, right? We want to keep that in mind. We want to be reminded of these things as we go into the next year. Let me close with this. We'll turn back to 2 Peter. I want to just take a look at how 2 Peter ends a little bit. Second Peter in chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 16, Peter says, also in all his letters, he's talking about Paul's letters, right? In all his letters, speaking of these things in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Verse 17, Peter says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, right? Knowing this beforehand, you saw it in the prophets. We just looked at false prophets. Knowing this beforehand, be on your guard. The prophets and everything that Paul has been teaching and Peter has been teaching, he is saying, be on your guard, lest you, having been carried away by the error of unprincipled men, fall from your own steadfastness. That's the desire to be on guard, right? Discerning of the messages that you're seeing. The blogs, the podcasts, the sermons from other churches, the books, the movies, the shows that profess and have a taste of Christianity in them, especially those. Be discerning, be watching, be on guard. That's what Peter is saying. Again, as I was, you know, thinking about this coming year, we don't know what the year has in store for us. The Lord does. We don't know what the year has in store for us, but we do know that there's going to be false teaching out there, right? We've been told there's going to be a lot of false teaching. There's going to be teaching that sounds good, right? I'll give you an example. We're going to talk more about testing of messages. Another thing is if you're reading books, I mean, I've taken a few classes where I had to read books by authors that sound good on the surface. They toss in Greek words. Just because an author tosses in a few Greek words and gives you definitions doesn't mean the message, doesn't mean he understands the scriptures that he's trying to say that he does, right? That's not the test. It's not the test that he tosses in a few Greek words. It's a good opportunity to be discerning of the message. So I was thinking, I know there are many ways, but what are two ways that we can know that we can prepare ourselves? What are two ways that we can be on guard against the messages from a soft gospel or a twisted gospel? Right. Great. Derek. Yes. Right. You have to know the word, right, Nick? can be full of error, right? Can be. You know, I was thinking, because that's the first one I wrote down. But as Neil's been preaching through James, right? Those are easy words to understand. It's not complicated. I don't got to parse out the verbs to understand we need to read our Bibles, right? We got that. But it's not so easy to do, right? Our goal, looking at the Old Testament, the New Testament, everything new, is to filter what's happening around us, to filter the things we're seeing through the Scriptures, through the entirety of the Scriptures. And it's easy to say that. It's not complicated to understand, but it's harder to do, right? We want to keep doing that. We want to keep endeavoring for that. What's another one? What's something else we can do? Joe. Great. Be examining. Yep. A willingness to come before God saying, God, expose my heart. Not an easy prayer to pray, by the way. Fellowship, sure. Yep. Absolutely. What else? Yeah. Proclaim the gospel. Yes, you speak the truth. Yep. I'll tell you the next one I wrote down that I would encourage all of us to remind it is that we have God's word, but by his design of the church, we also have our elders. Right? This church has men that are long in the faith, strong in the faith. And God's design is to give us elders to watch over the flock. They are charged to do that. If you've never been, or if you never talked to the elder and asked a question, hey, what does this mean? What do you think about this? I would encourage you to do so. Right? We are blessed to have elders that understand the Scriptures and are placed there by God for us to bring things before them, right? Again, it's hard to take all of God's word in and say, okay, I got it. I can go be perfectly discerning, right? No one would say that, but we have elders and teachers in the church, right, that we've been blessed with. Let's use them. Let's encourage them, exhort them. Their job, as we know, is hard, but I can guarantee you that they are encouraged when you come to them and ask questions, right? That's what they want to see. They want to see all of us growing, becoming mature in the faith. Another thing I was going to say is that, you know, we can tend to go look for a lot of messages. If you haven't done it, right, we have years of messages online, right? I'm reminded of this because I went back and listened to some of the messages in the Minor Prophets, right? I was listening to Malachi. There was others. Pastor Neil preached through Obadiah. Significantly implications that are important for us today. It doesn't matter if it's Romans or it's Hebrews. There are a tremendous, almost inexhaustible number of messages if you want to go back and listen to them. So maybe this year, do that. You know, make it a habit to go back and listen to some of the messages from Fellowship, right? And let those just be reminders of what we heard and, again, helping us be on guard. That's all I got. Any thoughts? Yeah, Pastor Russ. Yeah. Amen. Agreed. Yep. It requires a certain sense of doing this purposefully asking questions, perfectly bringing up, purposefully, yeah. Amen. Amen. It's going to get worse. Agreed. Thanks, Pastor. Anybody else? Any thoughts? Okay, Derek, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Divide in the word.